All right on there, so everything should be fine. All right, everyone, it is, well, Grim Interviews, and I've got Maya Chan back with us. Go ahead and introduce yourself for those who didn't watch the older interviews.
Hello, hello. My name's Maya May. I am a, right now, academic in sexology, sex education studies. I'm also a big visual novel fan, big adult industry fan in general. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, two things we like and we have a lot of on this channel in particular. We've really got into the AVNs lately. The adult visual novels are just, man, there's so many good ones. You know, we got Into Being a Dick. Mm-hmm. I'm now supporting the guy that makes Being a Dick on Patreon because the story's just so good. I'm paying him for it now. It's like,
I honestly, like, that's the one that's going through Steam, correct?
Yeah, that one's on Steam.
That's one through Steam? Okay. Yeah, I've had that on my wish list for a while now, but my backlog is so huge.
You get started on it, you better clear some time, because it's
long. It's very, very long.
Is it long?
Mm-hmm. What, we've done an hour a week for how long?
A long time. We've done about 30-something videos
maybe
of it.
Maybe more than an hour sometimes.
And he just announced in his updates that he's got the... Whoops, let's take that off. He's got
so
the...
So much hope.
He's got the... He's basically got the bare bones ready for season 3, so he can just start working on season 3 now. And then he's already getting started with season 4.
Well, he's got to.
This thing is going to be really long.
Wow.
Yeah. And another one that...
No, I've got to finish Mov Love. I got to finish...
Oh my
Umineko.
God. That's...
Not on Morgana. I have such a backlog, for real.
Now, Fata Morgana is excellent. That's one of the best visual novels I've ever read in my life, and it deserves every amount of praise it gets.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I need to get caught up for sure.
It's fantastic. Mov Love, my God. If I started reading that now, I'd probably be, I'll be 38 this year. I'd probably be 39 by the time I got finished with all of them.
So 1 year, right?
Yeah, they're that long. Maybe 40.
Yeah, I'm on Unlimited right now, which is the second.
Okay.
Just extra Unlimited and Alternative, so I'm on the second one right now.
Unlimited is the original dating sim one that they started out with, and then there was Unlimited and then Alternative. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been looking at those. I mean, I hadn't been able to go too far in them. A lot of people said it was like reading Concrete, the first one, because nothing really... Yeah, it's a...
Oh, the first one's awful.
Yeah.
The first one's awful.
Yeah.
It's boring as hell, but then again, I don't like Moe Gay that much. And
neither do I.
It kind of reminds me more of a, like, Moe Gay, slice of life, high school romance-ish.
Yeah.
I got one ending and was like, nope, that's it. I'm done. I'm not going back and getting the other endings. I get the idea. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I get the idea totally because all the good stuff starts happening later and it's like, okay. But,
Yep.
All right. So tell us what you thought of this whole Empress situation. I mean, you've watched her video where she went just completely nuts and... What do you think, as another woman, somebody that's, understands...
It's kind of hard to compare.
Well, I know that, but also somebody that's, knows a little bit more about the adult gaming industry and porn in general and things like that. What do you think about the whole situation there?
Well, I give her a lot of credit, first of all. Me and her have very different situations and backgrounds when it comes to, adult entertainment and that kind of stuff. And that's something that I respect completely. Second of all, say again?
No, I didn't say anything.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's moved in my head. When I think that was the second episode I had watched, when it comes to porn in relationships, most of the time we're talking about monogamous relationships. I am not. But it does become an issue when someone's hiding something from you, regardless of what it is. But there's also an issue with saying, you know, you can't engage in this type of entertainment. Yeah. It's kind of the same thing for me with, you know, you can't go out to the bar, or I don't want you watching this type of movie, or it could be something really, really small. And then even in that case, I would say, you know, well, would you rather have your dude going out to the bar or going out to the strip club or watching porn? I think one would probably be more
affordable.
Yeah. You know, porn gets...
One would probably be more wanted than the other.
Porn gets, is scapegoated so much by people that are, I call them moralists, you know, because they're basically, like, everything is based in morality, and there's a lot of people that feel that porn is, like, ruining society and things like that. I've ran into so many of them. And because of the fact that I've actually looked at the data myself, Steam has increased their amount of porn games tenfold. I mean, there was about four.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Since 2016, they went from about three games to 931 in 2022. And they're 431 just this year. 431 games just this year. And we're not even into the half of the year yet. And they're already about to probably go past what they had for last year.
It's impressive for sure. I'm not entirely sure if I agree with the way they filter certain games.
Not at all.
Even know how they do that or what they're. I don't know.
I can explain.
Heebies allowed on Steam.
I can explain that.
But
I can explain that really quickly. Only thing that they seem to have really stressed is anything having to do with a high school. Anything that has a high school situation, that's really it. So that's why a lot of
That would be Tsubihibi too. Tsubara Shikihibi, but that's still on Steam. I mean, it's cut. You have to get it patched, but
sure,
it's still there.
The weirdest thing, though, is, you know, they accepted Evnical 1, but they didn't accept the second one, and the second one was not only censored, but it didn't have as crazy scenes as the first one. The first one can have some really crazy, you know, non-con scenes, but the second one, no. Everybody said it's more lighthearted, and I'm like, okay, Steam, so you accepted the hardcore one, and you didn't accept the lighthearted one. And somebody said it just depends on which Steam reviewer you get for your game. Because, I mean, I've talked to so many adult developers about this situation. Because it's a big deal. A lot of people are really riding on Steam. Like, I talked to the dev of Future Fragments a lot. And he said Steam is our number one platform. It's like, we want to go on Steam before we go on any other platform. Because that's where the money is. I mean, they'll just be honest. That's where they get money. And to be fair,
Steam has monopolized a lot of that, of just the video game selling part of the industry.
Yeah.
Not the production as much, but if you, where do you go to get games? You go to Steam.
Yeah.
It was one of the same situations, like, I don't know, when I was younger, like, you go to GameStop, that's it.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe Amazon, but...
Oh, yeah.
I mean, big difference between the two, but I digress.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Steam is definitely it. And, I mean, some of these adult game developers, I looked at the stats for Fresh Women, and Fresh Women has made $3.2 million.
You know what I can't stand?
Wow.
That
stale
is...
women.
Crazy. I can't believe that, you know, it just made that much damn money. Mm-hmm. And Being Addicted, $2.9 million. And that's just on Steam. We don't know how much the Patreon sales are. So these guys, they're making money hand over fist. And they're very humble. Like, I've followed a lot of their dev updates. And they don't seem like very... you know, uppity or snob. Just because they're making millions of dollars, they're not like, oh, they're just really
down to earth.
Yeah, down to earth. Especially the developer of City of Broken Dreamers, which I've talked to a lot. He's doing really well on his game. And he's as cool as anyone else. I mean, you can talk to him about anything. Matter of fact, he goes in his Discord and they just talk about everything from sports to food to, I mean, whatever. I mean, yeah, sure, mm-hmm. he makes this big game, but it doesn't change who he is as a person. And I kind of like that because you see a lot of situations where somebody starts, you know, getting big like an influencer or something like that, and then they just kind of change their whole personality around. And like, oh, well, I don't have time for you.
Love chasing.
Mm-hmm. I can't stand that kind of stuff. And it's really big now.
I don't think anybody really can stand it.
Yeah.
That's why they say don't meet your heroes.
I mean, so what do you think about this? I mean, I know you're a proponent of sex work and all that, but, you know, there's a lot of women. I was reading Daily Mail, and some of these women, there's one, she made $500,000 in 6 months on OnlyFans, and another one made $106,000 a month.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like...
No, the money's no joke. The money's no joke.
God, the money's no joke.
So the issue comes when... If you're doing things on a fairly individual level, so let's say a friend of mine starts an OnlyFans selling feet pictures, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Or just for something, you know, something stupid.
Right.
Or even if she is selling, you know, explicit porn on OnlyFans. This is something that she can decide what she does. She can decide, you know, where her boundaries are regarding her work.
That's true.
Now, here's where it gets iffy, right? Mm-hmm. There are certain relationships wherein that those boundaries and that trust starts getting eroded.
Right.
So if you have a producer, let's say, and then that producer's like, hey, remember that one pic we posted of your tits and they're really good and like everyone likes your tits, so, you know, let's go just from cleavage to actually taking your shirt off and going full shirtless. And let's say that she's not comfortable with that.
Sure.
Or there's a more extreme fetish that ends up selling better.
Right.
And, you know, oh, let's do more of that. Performer is not on board.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The problem starts coming in when it's not a professional relationship anymore, but, like, say it's her boyfriend. Or, you know, there's another underlying relationship there that can make it become abusive in more than a lot of ways. Because now it's not a professional relationship anymore. You can't look at the person and say, I'm not going to do that. You can't force me. I quit.
Yeah.
Well, that's your boyfriend. You're living with them, you know?
Sure. And that can be really...
And that's where it can be really...
Yeah.
That's how we're making our living. That's the only way we're going to be
Yeah,
able to
I mean, I understand, but yeah, but you can't you can't put somebody in that kind of situation.
I know you can't, but people do it all the time.
Yeah, I know they do.
Whether they realize it or not, some don't even realize it. That's just their nature anyway. But,
And you know,
right.
I do
well,
worry.
So when we talk about human trafficking, a lot of the times human trafficking will come down to,
mm-hmm.
I met this guy online. We've been talking for, you know, months up to a year, however long. My family situation's really bad and I need it out. And then he comes to you and says, hey, babe, I bought you a ticket down to somewhere outside of the U.S., let's say.
Okay.
And... Oh my gosh, I was able to get out of my, you know, abusive family situation. I'm with this person that I love. He brings you over and he has a beautiful house,
mm-hmm.
mansion almost, and there's a whole bunch of other women there. And they're all doing OnlyFans. And so now you're outside of the country. You're outside of an area where you can't get out of.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're going to start selling porn. We're going to start selling porn right here, right now.
Right.
And now you can't do anything about it. What the fuck are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
And when you have a lot of the other girls that are there saying, we're going through the same thing, you know, we'll stick by this together, it becomes very difficult to be able to leave.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden now you have more people involved than just you and the guy that brought you over here, over there.
Right. So how many of these girls do you think could actually be involved in these kind of trafficking? I mean, from the OnlyFans and the Fansly and all that other kinds of things, I mean, how many of these girls might actually be pimped out?
More than we'd like to admit, I want to say. Now, the amount of individual consensual, you know, knowledge consensual work that has come through Fansly, OnlyFans, all that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
has been growing and growing and growing, and that's amazing. That's great.
Yeah.
But we still have to deal with the underlying problem of trafficking that comes from, you know, taking advantage of women who don't have the right knowledge or the safety to be able to say no.
Right. But see, there's a lot of that kind of really messed up stuff in the adult industry, and we're starting to see it in the, unfortunately, the Western adult games industry. We're starting to see it. There was a video that was mm-hmm. done on a game you may or may not know of called Lovecraft Fallen Doll. This game is very, very popular on Patreon. It was right behind Summertime Saga as the biggest game on Patreon as far as adult games are concerned. However, there's some real scammy kind of stuff going on. For instance, there's one tier where they're asking people for $400-something a month for their game. And I mean, there's like one other dev that does it. Well, they're asking for 200, but they say, if you happen to be an actual god or goddess and you love our game that much, this tier is for you. Like, they're being humble mm-hmm. about it. They're not just like, whereas these people are like, okay, if you donate $400 a month, you get a chance to choose our poll or something. I'm like, what?
A chance?
Yeah, it's like to make the option. Yeah, the choice. You get to choose the options in our poll. Or I'm like, that doesn't work for me. That sounds really scammy. And there's just a lot of other stuff. People saying that the game content doesn't look complete. And it is a beautiful looking game. And sometimes that's where the problem is, because a lot of people will put so much into graphics in order to kind of, you know, like they say, look how good my game looks.
Make and a turd sandwich look good.
Yeah, and that's one issue I have with a lot of these adult games. And it's not the hard-working devs. Like, there's so many hard-working devs out there. They're not making the most flashy games, but they're making fun games, you know, like a lot of the guys, a lot of the people on Shady Corner, they're making so many, or not Shady Corner, Shady Corner, they're making so many really great games, a lot of 2D platformers, fighting games, beat-em-ups, racing, everything you can think of, and it's all real hard work that they're putting in. I've talked to these devs, they're cool. Some of them, they might be going through some things, you know, but they really do put a lot of work and craft into their games. And I respect that. However, when you go on Steam, you find a lot of these other games and they're just like, okay, so that looked good, but when I went to play it, it was ass. Like, I'm just going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It was ass. I'm like, it looked so awesome. And I didn't like it. There was this game called Area, and it looked cool. I was like, okay, you play as this hot anime chick, you know, she's got a gun and some swords and stuff. That looks all right. And when I got to play it, I mean, this thing was like, what, 10, 30 gigs or something? It was pretty big game, pretty graphically heavy. And as soon as I started playing it, like, everything just felt like it was broken. Like, the enemies would go up to you and they wouldn't do anything. You just hit them. I'm like, okay, so you spent all this on graphics, but the game is garbage. It's like, just throw it away. It's a waste of time. God forbid somebody paid for that. You know? that's an issue, because if you don't know about the recent problems with itch.io, where they almost damn near told all the adult developers, hey, we're not going to do this anymore.
I've heard.
I've gotten conflicting reports. But the biggest report I've gotten, or, you know, that's been researched, is that somebody was doing some fraudulent stuff on their platform. And, I mean, I gotta say, there's unfortunately a lot of fraudulent stuff on that platform. Somebody tried to put Resident Evil Village on. It was like Resident Evil Village, and then you look at the game, and it's 419 megabytes. And somebody's like, I've been trying to report this game for a week now. It's like, well, they need to take that kind of stuff off. I don't know if they don't have enough people on there, but that's a problem. And unfortunately,
well, it's interesting talking about the what is important for developers, specifically Western adult developers, AVN developers, because when we talk about what kind of content is normal.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to Japan, which very, very strict on violence compared to what we see in the U.S., but not as much on sexual.
Okay.
Sexual stuff.
Yeah,
sexual
that's
content.
One thing I definitely need to talk about. I think all AeroGay fans need to know, because I have mentioned this. A lot of the really hardcore shit, Euphoria, Starless, Maggot Baits, stuff like that, the devs over here are really not trying to go that route. Matter of fact, I was talking about some of the fetishes that were involved in Starless. And Shades, you know, no harm or anything. I understand why he did it, but he removed the post, and he told me because it may trigger some people. And I was like, really? Mm-hmm. I didn't even think about it. It's like I've been so desensitized to this kind of stuff, I didn't realize that somebody might look at something like that and be like, oh my god. And it might mess them up. It might freak them out. It might be a traumatic thing.
So here's where it tips over the knife edge here, right? Because you have one of two things happening with Western developers, or just Western writers,
mm-hmm.
when it comes to pornography. Mm-hmm. You either have the... it's just sex, that's all there is, and it's just that's all it is. We have three scenes of sex in this game, and no story about no thinking about anything else, is just sex, that's right there.
Right.
Or they try to go completely in the other way,
mm-hmm.
and it ends up being kind of milquetoast. The idea that, oh, there is sex in this game has no... it is either so small that it doesn't even matter, or doesn't have any purpose in the game whatsoever, or it's the only purpose, that's it, we're done.
So
when they talked about taking down that post of like, oh, it might trigger someone, I understand why they did it, but it moves over to that other side, right, of, well, we don't want to talk about the stuff that's a little bit more raw, a little bit more real.
Well, also, you have to understand that many of the platforms that they work with, they don't allow that kind of content, period. Like, it's really hard. I'm going to be honest with you. I submitted videos to Pornhub, and they were just, you know, Starless, Bible Black, you know, stuff like that I had played. And the games that they accepted were the Western games. Being a dick, you know, stuff like that. But everything I did was say shoujo. Everything I did, Euphoria, all that. No. It was an absolute no. They wouldn't accept it at all. So,
the harder stuff is whisked away.
You won't even,
in a very quick manner.
You won't even find Starless on X videos. You won't find this stuff. Like, I was so surprised that, I mean, I get it, it's hardcore, but the fact that you're not even finding this stuff anymore because the restrictions have gotten so crazy, it's just like, man, it's like they're almost trying to change what sexuality is here in the West, as far as gaming goes. It's like, okay, well, we can't have this because this is what our country or what our part of the world allows, rather. Japan, they can have all whatever, you know. But when it comes to us, no, we're not going to allow that kind of degeneracy. That's kind of what they would, that's what they would say. There was actually, I'm not going to name any names, but somebody that's very prominent in the industry that was saying something about the fact that they feel that maybe the schoolgirls in some of the games are a little bit much. And that might be one reason why a lot of people don't get into them. And they said that it is kind of an issue. Even though they technically represent the Japanese side of that industry. So I'm like, oh.
Yeah, there is definitely a certain style acquired with the high school girl and high school, you know, slice of life stuff for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I get it because it's not like, to me, I've never seen it as like a high school girl. It's not like, I mean, I haven't been to high school in 20 something years.
What?
Because I graduated in 05. So, yeah, I'd say about
20 years would be 20.
Yeah, 20 years. So, I don't even know what goes on in high school anymore. I've heard stories, but as far I know it's not what happens in the games. I know for sure it's not what happens in the Japanese game. Even in Japanese high schools, it isn't like that. So,
we pray for the ability for people to be able to discern between fantasy and real life.
It would be great if people could do that, because a lot of people are really getting butthurt over the, it's like, okay, look, I understand, this is pretty hardcore, what you're seeing is pretty crazy, but at the same time, it's just a game, like, it's literally just a game, I can turn it off, or, you know, somebody watching the video, hey, if this is too much for you, you know, skip past it, or whatever. I mean, and I'm talking about Dead and Aegis, which has really just torn me completely apart. It's more fucked up than anything I've played so far. And I'm just to the point where I'm like, yeah, I get it, guys. If you can't do this, if you can't handle it, you don't have to keep watching. But a lot of people want the story, so they will sit through and go through the crazy stuff that happens in that game because they want that story. I appreciate it. But I don't want them to put. I don't want to put them through anything that they're going to be like remembering. Because there were there were parts of Starless that kept me up. There was a part of Starless that kept me up. One particular path. I'm not going to spoil it, but it was one path at the ending. I thought about that for hours before I finally went to sleep. Because that was horrible. Like,
well, that was, you know, the argument that was had, what, 10 years ago, something like that, where, you know, all of these violent video games are ruining our children. They're gonna just gonna start, you know, killing people and shooting people up because they're doing it in the video game.
Right.
How dumb of a thing that was. But it's a similar conversation when we're talking about sex in media.
Yeah.
We need to be able to discern the difference between fiction and nonfiction, first of all. Second of all, we can learn to empathize with these characters, regardless of the crazy shit that's going on.
Yeah.
And because it's a fictional story, all the stories try to, you know, either teach us something maybe not teach us something, but there's empathy there. That's why we tell fictional stories.
Right.
To empathize with something outside of ourselves. And if we can understand have empathized with some of the characters that have gone through crazy shit, then maybe we can start empathizing with people who have gone through bad things, maybe aren't that worse, or not as worse, I would say.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
And
like...
that's important. That's really important.
It's like I said, though, if you can't empathize with Mayuri and all the hell she goes through, and you're literally, like, laughing about it, you may need some professional help, because she goes through things, and the story is written so well that, you know, it's like you can tell this woman doesn't want these things to happen to her. It's not like there's... They're doing things to her that are just absolutely insane. I don't want to spoil Dead on Aegis, but it has a very good lesson. One of my guys, though, in my comments section, he's almost spoiled the plot. He hasn't played the game, but he hasn't played it himself and got to that point. But he's over here giving me, he's like, well, I think this is what's going on. And I'm like, dude, please don't spoil me on this. If you're right, then that's going to... Because he comes in and he'll write paragraphs and paragraphs on these games. Because he just really gets into the stories. And, I mean, I love that. I love that people actually get into this. And they're like, oh, it's not just a sex game. There's something that people find interesting other than the sex. And, I mean, the sex is good. I mean, the sex is there. But if you can write a good story and make it sexy, you're a good writer. That's why I think Being a Dick is so good. And City of Broken Dreamers and all that other stuff. Because when characters die and they mean something, you're like, damn, I didn't want him to die. You know, and everybody's like, why are you so upset? This is like a sex game. I was like, dude, this guy died, though, and he was awesome. You don't know how cool he was.
I'm crying during Tsubihibi. My boyfriend walks in like, what's wrong? I'm like, it's so sad. But there's porn on the screen. I know. Why are you crying?
I have not been able to get through it because everybody says don't play Tsubihibi if you're in a bad mental state because they said that the game it gets really depressing.
Like, it gets really bad. I also think that there is some required reading beforehand because it's very philosophy heavy.
Oh yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do some reading and then come back to it, read it again after I know a little bit of what these fuckers are talking about. great. Oh my gosh. Tsubihibi blew my mind.
I heard.
And I can't even tell you what the fuck happened. Like, I can kind of tell you, but not really.
Oh, wow.
There's so much philosophy in that game. There's so much required reading that you need to understand what is happening in that game. And sure, you can, you know, skip text through some of that and just get to some of the sex scenes.
Sure.
But a lot of the sex scenes are so strange.
What?
That they don't make sense without context of what the fuck's going on. You can have scenes where certain characters will act completely differently from what you usually see them act with or act as. Someone could be way more submissive or way more dominant, way more aggressive, when they're usually very far from that. And a lot of that only comes into context if you're reading what the characters are talking about, figuring out, you know, what philosophy we're talking about when it comes to aggression and violence and what that means for societies and all that kind of. That's a crazy visual novel. I don't know what else to say about it.
Now, you are playing with the fan patch, right? Because the fans went through and they fixed a lot of the localization. You know, the team that did it, they did an all right job, but okay. I was going to play it with the fan patch. Which I remember when
The game... Be aware, I mean, there's crazy stuff in the game regardless, but I think one of the highest kind of warnings of the game, especially with the patch, is that there's a bestiality scene in it that gets kind of violent.
I heard it was just a dream, though.
A what?
Yeah, they told me, one of the guys, I hope that's not a spoiler, but somebody said years ago when the game was still kind of being... Like, when it just came out, people were really into it, and somebody said that was just, like, a dream, so it didn't count, so it wasn't necessary, but I don't know. Like, I don't know. I'm just saying what people say. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Tsubihibi. It's supposed to be in a dream, but, like, everything's in a dream, and it's all, like, you know, be high as fuck to understand what the fuck's going on.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you could say everything's in a dream, but one of the biggest scenes in the game also happens in a dream, so... Eh.
I might... I don't know if I'll play it on the show, because, I mean, I am playing You, Me, and Her right now on the show, and people seem to like that, but...
Oh, that's a great game.
Yeah, it's crazy. She's trying to call God with a cell phone. And...
Great.
It's like, it
She's
doesn't
great. I love her so much.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's really good. But, yeah, see, that's one of the things. You know, these games are really bringing people together. And even the devs. Like, the devs really get into this. If you want to know, what do H or X-rated adult game devs talk about? They talk about the different games. They talk about the fetishes. They talk about, you know, the other stuff that they're doing, you know. It's cool to talk mm-hmm. with them. I talked with them a lot. I'm actually on the DL site server, so I go in there and I talk with the devs in there, and some of them are making pretty decent games, and it's pretty cool. I mean, again, it's a really good community. It's an indie community. I definitely consider it an indie community. But one of the things that I think is a problem that I've noticed is a lot of people want the AAA games industry to notice the adult industry. And I think that's a bad thing. Because, yes, there are some sex scenes in AAA rated games. I don't think it's a good idea, you know, for, like, I don't know, Bethesda or EA or, you know, Capcom.
Right.
One of these. I don't
think... Well, when you're talking about AAA games, you're talking about big companies, big studios. A lot of this game has to be passed through a lot of different hands, and not to say that other indie companies don't have a lot of, you know, people that are working on them. But when you're talking about Bethesda, when you're talking about, Riot.
Right.
Or
right,
literally any other big company.
Microsoft.
There are people who make decisions on the board who either, one, don't play the game, don't give a fuck, and just they're doing it for their shareholders.
Sure.
So, when you're talking about something like, let's say The Last of Us, right?
Sure.
The Last of Us 2 had a really rough launch. Not because of how the game was in or what state or whatever, but simply because of how they portrayed their queer characters.
Sure.
And I was one of those people that was like, big yikes. As a queer person myself, absolutely fucking not. Thank you very much. I hated it. Now, that had to go through a lot of different hands. That had to go through a lot of different, you know, okays. Yes, okay, no, we're not going to... you know, portray this way. And I'm almost 100% sure that at some point someone had a really good plot line for these characters. Somewhere at some point someone was like, this is how they're going to fall in love and this is how it's going to happen. But it got through so many hands of people who either one aren't learnt on the experience, either through media or through family empathy with other people. Or, like I said earlier, just don't give a fuck. Or are worried about their shareholders.
Yeah.
So at some point, it was probably neutered in that way.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about the adult industry, and not only the adult industry, but going further down into the adult industry, talking about stuff like Sayano Uta, Tsubihibi, all of these crazier ones.
Yeah.
I would rather have it be more indie.
Yeah.
Because there's less of a glass barrier of corporatism there, I suppose.
I mean, and that's one reason why I don't think that these things will ever get to that AAA status, because again, these corporations aren't going to. I mean, despite how a lot of people say, oh, we're in more progressive times. Obviously, we're not, because my state is telling me, hey, you have to get a digital ID card now, or you can't view any adult website. Now, I've talked to some stores, and I think they're going to be okay. I don't know if GOG is going to tell me, oh, hey, person in the U.S., now you can't buy our games either, and try to force me on a VPN or something, which would be stupid, because I've only shopped at GOG for almost 10 years now. It's like, oh, okay, so I can't buy these games now? Yeah, it's really stupid. And the whole thing is to protect children from pornography. That's the whole reason they're doing it. They say to protect kids from the evil porn. I mean, I hate to say it, but you can do a million different things. If a kid wants to get into that kind of thing, and we're assuming somebody that's of age, about you get in a teenage mode, how people can be. And, they're going to find it. I found it. When I was young, I found it. So, of course, they're going to find it. I found it back in the old days when it was hard to find. So, if you're going looking for something on the internet, if you look hard enough, you're almost bound to find it. Especially today. I think things are more accessible now than they ever have been. I just can't believe all the things that you can find on the internet now. I mean...
Yeah. Well, it's going to be very difficult for them to start trying to push down just things on the internet in general. The internet is a very difficult place to try to prune, for lack of a better term.
And they're trying, which is really kind of scary because, again, as an adult content creator, I don't want to have to. I mean, I'll do the ID. A lot of people on Jast are telling me, no, just use a VPN. I'm like, look, I don't know how far this gets. I don't want officers knocking on my door, So basically, I'm like, if I have to do it, I'll do it. Because I'd rather say, okay, look, I'm 18 years old. I mean, I'm way over 18. But I'm almost 40 years old. I have the rights to do this content. I've bought these games. I support these developers. Everybody that's here is an adult. Assuming they are. I mean, it's got Not Safe for Work on it. I mean, that's the best I can do.
I used to work in at a sex shop, right? Mm-hmm. And someone walked in that looked pretty young, we would ask to see their ID.
Sure.
And that was pretty common. You can't do that online. You can't access a website and then the website goes, you look pretty young, sir.
Yeah.
That's not something that they can do. But even past that, if you're dad liked Playboy, if your mom liked reading smut, those would be in the house.
Yeah.
You'd find them eventually.
Yeah.
We all find our sexuality eventually, and the attempt to permanently infantilize people, and I'm not going to say kids particularly, because kids are still people.
Yeah.
They will not be kids forever. I understand the want to protect children, but children will not always be children.
Right.
If they start going into, be it high school, college, once they actually start to grow up, if they don't have the parameters for what is safe sex, for, what sex means, doesn't mean, what it does to your body, how to do it safely, all this kind of stuff. And online too, how to properly look up shit online, fact check things, be a smarter consumer.
Yeah.
They won't be kids forever. And I think, I'm getting my master's degree in education, sex ed. And one of the bits that I feel super, super strongly about is that we are not creating smart consumers.
No.
They're creating really dumb consumers, which is great for capitalism.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of issues that comes with, I'm a Twitter consumer. I use Twitter a lot.
Yeah. You're right.
The first thing I see on Twitter that's like maybe some really dumb bullshit that people already know is dumb bullshit. You don't because you didn't have that lesson in school.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now you're offended because you're like, well, this is what my news media is telling me.
Sure.
How could this be wrong? Now I'm offended.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how to navigate our internet consumption. Yeah.
There's a lot of fact checking that I actually do have to do. When I do my articles and stuff like that on the show, I kind of look at things. You know, sometimes we just do like crazy articles, you know, but there's some times where I'm like, hold on, when it comes to something like that, I gotta look it up. Like that time where that woman didn't get her biscuits at Popeyes and decided to take her vehicle and ram it through the front window. That's a real thing.
I think
thing.
I remember hearing about that.
That's a real thing. I had to make sure it was a real thing, and it was.
I believe.
And apparently, according to that article, she rammed into the building, and then she pulled out, and then she drove home, and then the police just, you know, they followed her, and then they arrested her at her house.
Now, she must have a piece of shit car, because think of how much damage she's doing to her own vehicle as well for, like, what? If that $2 biscuits, and that's being generous, biscuit batter's cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, those biscuits were not that expensive. I've seen the DoorDash
prices.
Sure,
you could look up how to clone them at home and not run into a building.
Yeah, I mean, they said the only thing that was stopping her was part of the foundation. And
those biscuits were so good, they're just as good as my broken car, and sacrifices have to be made.
You might have to kill
them. I mean, that's just crazy. I've never seen anything like that before. And I mean, that's the kind of world we're in now. Things are just getting really crazy. You work in a situation.
It's kind of reverting to childhood actions, like people not getting their way, acting like, just throwing a fit. There was someone the other day, had her boyfriend try to charge me because her card kept declining, and he's yelling at me, and I turned around, and he kind of paused. He's like, why ain't you swiping my girl's card? And I said, I swiped that thing 11 times. Being broke's a you problem, not a me problem. He turned around.
Right. Her card declining is your fault, though.
And all that. And so that was the end of it. And, you know, they didn't buy what they wanted. They didn't have the money.
You know, I think, honestly, this is just a theory, but I think that the fact that society has gotten to the point where we literally do have everything at the touch of a button, people are getting to the point where they're expecting everything.
Well, yeah. It's like participation trophies and everything else. They just, I want the best in life because I deserve it, and I get it when I click a button within a day or so. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not a good, it's definitely not good for the future of society when you got people like this. And I mean, you got some really upset, I mean, obviously, I've talked about the whole situation with the, I don't like to use the term incel on these guys, but, you know, guys that just, they wanted a wife and a family, and they're not getting one, and they're kind of losing it. But the problem is, they're getting to the point now to where they're starting to get, I guess, a little crazier than normal. And I kind of worry about that in the future. Because, look, I'm 40 years, almost 40 years old. A lot of this stuff isn't my problem anymore. But what's the problem is, when I'm an older man, and if these young men are doing all kinds of crazy things, if they join gangs, if they, I don't know what the future's going to look like. But, you know, it's kind of scary. It's scary that these kind of young men that might get frustrated and crazy might turn into criminals. They might start doing a lot of horrible things because they feel that society doesn't want anything to do with them. And I do worry about them sometimes.
I think anybody can get a significant other. Now, they may not be happy
with the
looks.
They may not be happy with the looks.
And I don't think anyone should settle, neither. I think everyone should be astute. Student of human nature.
Right.
Because, honestly, a lot of this has happened because you think about when all of a sudden it became so hard, when social media started overtaking human contact.
That's
and people
true.
Stop conversing as much with one another. Even when they do converse with them, it's usually over text or messenger or whatever
yeah, that's
you
true.
Choose.
So you're not looking people in the eyes like you should. Probably when you see them, you're probably getting a little social anxiety. You might turn your head if someone looks at you aggressively, like, not aggressively, but, you know, you can tell they're eyeing you and paying attention to you and all that.
Yeah.
You kind of always, I used to have, what is it, social anxiety disorder where I couldn't, I had friends that were girls. Dated girls.
Yeah.
But occasionally, like, a new girl shows up and looking me in the eye, and I kind of get bashful and kind of turn my head and all that. But it just took practice to get over it.
But the problem is, we're not having that kind. Again, we're not having those situations, well, so the people never develop those skills.
Yeah, because they're never getting to that point to experience those hurdles and to overcome.
And it's becoming a thing with women now too, because the fem cells are getting really, really strong. I didn't realize there were so many, but there's a lot of women out there that say, yeah, sure, I can get sex, but I can't get a decent relationship. I can't find a good person. And they're really upset and depressed about it. And I'm like, man, this is both genders now. This is affecting everybody. And I don't know.
Did you hear about what they're calling the epidemic of loneliness? It was the Surgeon General was talking about how more and more people are feeling lonely, and that a prolonged period of feeling lonely is very bad for your health.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And this is a multifaceted issue, right? There's different ways that you could come at this. Social media is definitely one of them.
Yeah.
The hours that people are working has skyrocketed. We could also argue, you know, economy is not helping, yada, yada. COVID definitely didn't help. But it's becoming a really big issue. And regardless of what ideas or philosophies you follow, whether, you know, you're talking about red pill, incels, fem cells, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The hesitancy to become more open and look around, even if you, even if it's just going to, I don't know, a different Discord server, talking to different people in the areas that you are already in, even if it's online, even if it's on social media, the clickiness of certain ideals is dangerous. It's becoming dangerous.
It is getting a little crazy. Like, I've met a lot of very negative and dangerous, I mean extremely dangerous, and when I say dangerous, I mean these people are extremely dangerous. And I don't know, it's hard to tell if somebody's trolling and serious, but sometimes there are people that are just legitimately so wired off from society that they could actually be harmful. I'm not going to say anybody in my server particularly, but I have seen just, you know, random people on the internet, you know, different social medias. And I'm like, oh my God, there's people out here that are literally, like, they really want this. A lot of people are really trying to embrace the neo-Nazism, and I've seen that. And at first I was like, no, that's not a thing. And then I started talking to people, and I'm like, oh my God, this is a thing. So
yeah, there's been an uncomfortable rise in a lot of those political ideologies too.
Yeah, things are getting a little crazy, because I've always been more, I guess you could say, maybe individual libertarian, that kind of person. But when it comes to, you know, so when it comes to anything like on the left or the right that I think is just too much, that's where I kind of speak. I'm like, yeah, that might be a little too much, you know, or you have to kind of explain what you mean by this. Like, because I say, surely you don't mean this. Like, as I say, surely you don't mean this. And then when I say, oh, he does mean that. Well, I'm going to block this person. I'm not going to have much to do with that person. I mean, because honestly, you don't really want to be around people, because I know, what was it, Facebook was saying people were posting extreme content and everybody was memeing and saying this person posts extreme content, stuff like that. Mm. But when somebody's legit posting extreme things and, you know, stuff that is dangerous and doesn't help anybody, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And that problem was started by social media and a lot of the echo chambers that we have now. That's why you've
got... social media is interesting in that fact, because mm-hmm. I remember, what was it, 2016, when Trump became president. There was a lot of people who would look around at their inner circle of people. Maybe it was your grandfather or, mm-hmm. You know, someone from work that, you know, maybe you weren't best friends with them, but you get along, right?
Sure.
There was a lot of people who were like, wait, you voted for Trump? Or wait, you believe in this thing? Or right. Everyone kind of looked at each other, and now no one knows who anybody is.
Yeah.
Social media, on the other hand, feels safe for a lot of individuals, so they can start posting things that, you know, maybe would be considered out of touch or out of hand, because they feel more comfortable in their social media space. They can block any dissenters. They can say, well, I don't want to hear from anyone, you know, that doesn't believe in this specific thing.
Oh, yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
the bubble gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
I always like
on I mean, I try to.
They say, if you voted for Trump or if you believe in babies survive, or I don't know.
Just, like, yeah.
If you believe in not punching babies, then fuck you. I hope you die.
Yeah, swap stuff left. Like that. And
this is like, it's crazy. And I was like, thanks for making it easier for me to choose.
Now,
mm-hmm.
Now, to be fair, a lot of this has to do with the media too.
Because, oh, yeah.
Hold on. Because, you know, we're not doing a show today, there was actually an article that Vice filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Yeah.
BuzzFeed filed for Chapter 11. All these places filed, and one of the things was they lost their edge. Like, when Trump was president, they were churning out articles left and right. Yeah. They would talk about everything from his shoes to... It didn't matter.
Yeah.
Just whatever they could get to get the rise out of people. And unfortunately, there was so much of that constantly. Because, you know, basically, it's the algorithm's fault. Because a person would click on, well, I don't like Trump. So they'll click on an article that's, oh, well, he did this. All right. So the algorithm's mm-hmm. like, okay, you like the articles that don't like Trump or talk bad things about him. So we're going to show you more articles
everything
about that. So then everything they see would be about him, and everything that, you know, they would advertise to him, everything would just be about stuff.
Well,
that,
you know the saying, sex sells?
Yeah.
You know what sells better than sex? Anger.
Yeah.
Fear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. And that's what they're doing. Well, see, and also, yeah, I will admit, like, my social media, it's got all kinds of, you know, different sex work. I mean, the crazy thing is, look, I understand OnlyFans is very lucrative for people, but, you know, there's everyone, even from huge, you know, fitness athletes that are on OnlyFans now. And it's just like, wow. I mean, it's just something mm-hmm. I never believed, because when I was a young man, you know, I used to look up to the fitness athletes or, you know, stuff like that. And now I'm seeing them on, like, okay, I'm doing sex work now. I'm like, well, I mean, it just wasn't a thing back in the 90s or the 2000s.
Interesting career switch.
Well,
yeah.
It is money. And
oh, it is money, definitely. Well, I mean, and even if it was a thing, it was probably done on the down low. Because if you have a fitness athlete and you have a guy that wants a muscle mommy, you know, they basically will do that on the download. They'll say, okay, you can meet me and we'll do $500 and blah, 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 blah. But now it's, here I am on my OnlyFans and here I am posing at this huge Miss Olympia or whatever kind of, you know, contest they have. You know, this is me as a bikini athlete and then here's me on my OnlyFans.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, wow. And one of the issues I kind of have, and I don't want to get too hardcore, but this is where I kind of push a little conservative, is because I do remember a time when things were kind of left up to imagination. And, like, when you would see a beautiful woman in a bikini, like, you didn't get to see her, like, she wasn't bare nudes and doing, you know, all of it. You were just like, wow, like, that woman is gorgeous. She's beautiful. And you would imagine things, but now these young guys, they can just click a button and they get to see her do everything you can possibly imagine.
I think too and much of that's not a great thing.
I don't think it's...
Some of it's not
some
a
of it's
thing.
Okay, but...
Well, if you drink too much alcohol, that's bad for you, but if you drink a little, it's pretty good every once in a while.
But young men were telling me in a group, basically they said, you know, I said, why are you nofap? You know what nofap means, they don't masturbate. It basically said, well, because one thing about your generation and mine, and I really took this to heart, is that you didn't have HD 1080p porn at the click of a button. It said, when I was a young boy, you know, young teenager, I masturbated about 10 times a day. And I'm like, wow. And it said, yeah, that, it said I was masturbating so much that it was making, it was doing things to me. I couldn't get enough of it. And it said I had to get into that. So basically what I do when I have the urge, I do push-ups instead. And yeah, they'll do, like, instead of doing that, they'll do... Yeah, I know. But basically it teaches them, like, a painful activity. It kind of makes them where they don't want to do that all the time.
I wonder if that's going to hurt them.
It could. No. I've talked to a therapist about that. I want to call him a psychologist.
Too much of something is just as bad for you as doing too little of something.
Well, that's true, but they're kind of scared at that point because they've already got the fear where they're like, I can't stop. And yeah. When you get to that point and you get to be an addict to that sort of thing, then, sex addiction, you would consider sex addiction to be real, right? I mean, is that something valid or...
So the idea of pornography or sex addiction is, at least in the sexology field, it's a contentious subject. I am of the mindset that it doesn't exist, but is more of a symptom of another underlying issue, similar with something like, I want to say eating disorder, but that's not what I was talking about. A lot of issues like with OCD, you would do certain things a certain amount of times, and it's not that you're addicted to that thing that you're doing, but there is an underlying issue regarding that.
If you're coming
to the point where I don't know, but maybe there's something wrong with your hormones. You have too much testosterone or whatever. Maybe it's a social anxiety issue because that tends to happen a lot, especially with consistent masturbation issues. So a lot of that is you are using this sexual thing as a coping mechanism. Now, is that sexual thing the issue? No, it's the coping mechanism. Now we need to change how are we dealing with this. If you're masturbating too much, you're watching too much porn and it's starting to affect you, maybe we can take that energy and we can move it to something else.
More constructive.
Huh? Yeah, I agree with that. But you know, it could be like an addictive personality. Some people do have an addictive personality where they get into certain things. But what you're saying is a coping mechanism. Yeah, I can believe that because a lot of guys these days. I've got to be honest. They're socially awkward, and I was kind of socially awkward, you know, for a while. And I understand. And of course, yeah, you get into your own little world when you're socially awkward and you don't really talk to people. And now, I said this to you in another interview, but I remember a documentary where they sat a bunch of young people down and they were basically trying to see if they would ever, you know, have a conversation. And they said that they just all took out their phones and they didn't say a single word to each other the whole time.
Yeah.
I was like, wow.
I know, masturbation, it does serve a purpose, but
yes,
I can see, like, if I don't, which I do like pursuing women, I like talking to them, spending time with them and all, but if I don't masturbate for a while, I do have a greater urge to go out and be social with them and actually spend time with them and all that, but at, in the same time, if I don't get rid of it, It just comes on its own different random times. That's weird.
Okay. There is a lot of physical and mental health benefits that comes from sex, partnered or solo. The issue for me generally comes with talking about porn addiction or sex addiction. It's the same issue I have with purity culture, in the same way that I don't think it's safe or healthy for us to demonize our sexualities.
No.
And how we experience.
I don't think so either, but you know, one thing I have considered, and I want people to kind of really understand this when I say this, is, you know, you look at a lot of porn these days, and a lot of it is really, like, the body types, they're not accurate. I know that some people can be, no, I'm honest.
Oh, you're...
I'm being honest here. Some of the porn, like, the guy has... the guys will have these ridiculously large penises, or the women will have these large augmented breasts, or these naturally large breasts. I'm not saying that doesn't exist. But you're probably not going to find it in just, you know, that one partner. And if you do find it, hopefully that's not the reason why you fell in love with that person.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And,
because
if you try to date someone else.
Because I think that's an issue. And we go into, like, you look at the Instagram. I can, Instagram right now, everybody is really plastic. All the girls, you know, you have the BBLs, which a lot of girls are actually dying on the operating table.
Well, yeah, it's the most dangerous surgery.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They've had a lot of problems with that. But so many of these women want these great big butts. And, you know, it was always the boobs back in the 90s.
We've got one at work with a great big butt.
I
think it's too big for a frame, but I think it's natural.
Well, what I'm saying is, yeah, there's so many. And all these guys... Like, going to the gym to become, like, I mean, look, I understand people want to work out and get a good body, look good. But there's a lot of these guys that are trying to look like Arnold and look like these great...
They're starting
great
to do
big,
what women
like,
used to do, was trying to be... to look like supermodels and all that and starve themselves.
It's like, why are we starting to...
It's not natural.
It's like, we're trying to look like the people from porn. We're trying to look like the people from movies. And that's really bad, because then people are like, well, I can't get this person because they don't look like the person from the movie or the person from the movie or the person from the pornography. And you shouldn't expect that in a partner. That's not the reason why people are partnered up. Sure, looks can be a thing, but they're not going to be there all the time.
I mean,
they're not something that's always going to be there.
Personality that you can grow with.
And that's one of the issues I find with both the incel and the femcel community. A lot of the femcels, they want Ryan Gosling, and it's Ryan Gosling. They want him to come over there and say, oh, you know, you're absolutely gorgeous. You know, would you like to go on a date? And then it'd be like a rom-com moment. Oh, I don't know. You know, just that sort of thing. And I was...
There are things that we learn from porn.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There are things that we expect out of our sexual lives because we see them in porn.
Yeah.
Thanks to porn, I don't show them.
The amount of differential that we see in pornography is so small. Mm-hmm. Unless you're, like, literally going to the page 2 of Google. Excuse the lack of a better term for me. But there are so little... diversity and options that we have for pornography still.
Yeah.
Still. Now, we've just talked about, you know, how many games have come out, you know, how all of these great games are coming out, all of these great stories, but we're still struggling. We're still struggling. And I think one of the reasons I am going to school, one of the career goals I want to have is to make that more diverse.
Right.
To make sure that the lessons that we learn in our pornography are good lessons. Like, damn, if you go to a school that has abstinence-only sex education, where are you going to learn about sex?
Right.
You're going to learn about it on Pornhub. Because your teachers aren't going to tell you about it because of state laws or something. whatever it ends up being, your parents aren't going to tell you about it because, I don't know, maybe they got the same treatment, or, you know, maybe you just don't have a stable home life. You're going to find it on Pornhub. So if we can have a more beneficial lessons to learn from pornography, we can skip all of this. Government coming in and saying no one can tell, we can't have sex education here because we need to protect the children.
Yeah.
And that bothers me.
Yeah. It's a big problem. Now there is one game
without that.
There is one game I do want to talk about here before we go. And you were talking about games that kind of teach things, and one game I really like, now this is my personal thing, so it might not be everybody, but you're talking about games that do something different. They have a game called How to Fix the Future. It's actually doing very well. The developer's from the Ukraine, and he's decided to not do any, he's not decided to do any more free versions of the game, I guess, and maybe until it's completed, but... Anyway, this is one of the first games I've seen to actually cover domination in a way that I have not, like a very educational way, because you have a mistress that brings you back, you know, into the future, and she has a slave. She has an Asian slave woman, and basically there's a situation where you find her in like a headset or something. She loses it, and you have to take her to the bed. And the game asks you a few questions. They ask you, do you want to strip her? Do you want to take her clothes off? Do you want to play with her? You know, while she's asleep. Now, what we don't know, and the player doesn't know what's going to happen, right? Well, what happens is she wakes up. And when she wakes up, she scolds the player. And she says, hey, she said, I noticed that you undressed me. And
really?
No. She says, and you say to her, oh, I was just trying to make sure that the temperature. She said, no, don't play that game with me. I know that you were doing that. And she said, I understand that, you know, you want to, you know, be with this great body, but you're going to do it on my terms. And that was a little different to me. And they actually had a situation where they said, okay, Lou, which is the Asian girl's name, you're going to be the main character's slave today. And you need to do everything he says. And they actually explained it, like, because he was doing things with her and she said, no. He's like, I'm not going to let you do that with her. It's like, remember, I am your mistress. You will still listen to me. I've given you to her, but you're going to do this correctly. And I've never seen a game actually touch on these. I mean, games that actually teach you about important things in sex, like consent. And we're not talking about the meme where the guy's like, oh, he asked to touch every part of my body, because that's really cringy and stupid.
It is.
But we're talking about when it's like, hey, yeah, you're not going to do this with me. This is the way that things are going to go down, you know. And I like that because...
There are a lot of stuff like that. Dom relationships, kink relationships, all that kind of stuff can be taught really well through visual novels. And you just don't do it. Or I just haven't seen it yet.
Well...
And that sounds exactly what we're looking for. I think one of the most recent, it wasn't a visual novel, it wasn't a game, it was actually the HBO show Euphoria. There's a scene pretty early in the first season where these two kids, they're at a party and they're making out. They end up moving to a bedroom, and she's like kind of hyping herself up to have sex with this guy, but she's never had sex before. Well, he decides he's gonna go in hard, and he grabs her throat, and she starts freaking out. And as soon as she starts freaking out, he starts freaking out.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? I thought that was what women want. I thought that was what felt good. I thought that was what women wanted. And there's that scene of her going, well, no, you know, I'm nervous. I know you're nervous, but this is, we should talk really quickly about boundaries and, you know, what I want you to do and what
right.
I don't want you to do.
People don't do enough communication before sex. You know what's funny? We've got this crazy hookup culture, but nobody's actually talking about boundaries. So when people are doing things that they're not comfortable with because nobody's communicating properly, yeah, that's why we have a lot of the depression issues and things like that. Did you know that they had a study just today talking about that teen girl depression is up higher than it's ever been? And I'm like,
that's
bad. That's what we've got going on.
Well,
okay. Well,
yeah, well, you can talk about we don't see the talking.
Oh, yeah.
When we view sex, when we consume sex as a media, we don't see people talking about boundaries. We don't see the, this is what I want, this is what I don't want.
It's kinda like,
so at that point, what foundation do we have to understand how we're supposed to have safe,
right?
Consensual,
yeah.
Good sex?
Yeah.
We don't see it.
Now, one of the reasons why I think that these aren't being taught right is because, well, a lot of people don't read anymore. And that's unfortunate, but a lot of people don't. I was looking at the statistics in the United States, and apparently a large chunk of people in the United States are completely illiterate. And we weren't talking about, like, people that English isn't a first language. We're talking about a lot of people where English is a first language, is just completely illiterate. And I'm talking about so illiterate they can't read the prescription medicine. If they get prescription medicine from a doctor, they don't understand what they're supposed to do. They'll have to have somebody read it to them. And that's really kind of scary, because if we don't have people reading the books, then they can't learn about these kinds of things. And it all goes down to the fact that, are we going to have to start voicing them? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen too many of these with a voice, and I don't know if...
About that, if you keep giving people outlets to not try to do something, it's going to be like social media.
Well,
oh, I don't have to talk to this person in person,
but then we run
into this, I don't have to do that. And
but we run into the problem there, they just won't.
Well,
they just won't, and that's
people
the issue.
Won't benefit from what life has to offer.
Well, that's true, but the problem is, though,
I mean,
DP,
they already aren't if they can't read.
The problem is, DP, though, we've got too many people like that. It's okay, all right, now, I want to be completely fair. It's fine if we have a few people that are maybe that way, but we have a growing number of people that are just like, you know what, I don't care. I never learned it, I don't care, and that's it.
Who knew the movie Idiocracy would actually be prophetic?
Well, yeah.
It's getting there.
It's my judge is a prophet. He understands what's going on. All right, so...
There is definitely an issue with education
right
now, and funding that's being put into education. What we end up wanting or needing from our future generations, what we want them to know. There's a lot of people who are in charge of public education who are just like, I don't know, man. STEM, I guess.
Yeah, that's the problem. And there's a lot of people without jobs right now because what do you think about AI, honestly? The AI, I mean, AI is doing everything. AI is generating things. AI is starting to do voices.
I'm frustrated with it, not going to lie. I think that we as a society need to have an understanding that AI, robots, whatever the fuck we want to call it. These are things that we should use for our tedious tasks.
Right.
These are not things that we should use. There was a replica chat AI that's been used to help people deal with their loneliness.
Sure.
And it's like, well, we don't want AI art. We don't want AI people or interactions. I would like AI to, or that AI robot to make my food. That'd be okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'd pay the robot $5 to make my food. But, there are things that human things that cannot be replaced by AI.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
We need to figure out what those things are and be strong about them.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've talked to other, like, you know, I'm in some of the art groups, and I've looked at some of those, and a lot of these guys are like, well, you know, I use this on a daily basis in my job now. And ChatGPT is constantly used at my job now. A lot of people are using the filters, are they taking away the filters now. The businesses are requiring to remove the filters. So this is, mm-hmm. I don't know. I think this technology is here to stay, but the thing is, you know, we have to choose, like, how far it goes. Because they're talking about right now that animation will be done really quickly. That they're working on it where they can do animation. Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, there's some movies I really want to get made that will never get made that would be nice to see AI work on them. But, I mean, it's just, I don't know. I mean, all of a sudden you'll have Disney or these other companies. Okay, fine. We won't hire all these people. We'll just have AI do the whole movie.
And just some things that you lose humanity with.
Yeah, you'll lose it.
I mean, Pixar and stuff, there's still humanity in the way they move the figures and like a flicker of an eye and this and that. And you could tell cares put with the personality, it developed that character.
Sure.
But AI just replicates, well, this is what I've seen humans do.
Yeah.
This, I think I can do this and make it better. This, well, you've seen the parts on those AI where the girl has like three arms coming out of one arm. And it's
some of the AI art is funny, I have to admit.
Oh, yeah. Some of it,
especially the ones earlier of like they don't know how many fingers are on a hand, so you'll have someone holding a
But now they've got perfect hands. Now they've got perfect hands, though, and it's getting crazy.
Conversing with the AI because I know it's not a real person.
Yeah, but you got a lot of people that are just like, you know what, it's either this or nothing, and I understand that is an issue.
Now, I can get caught up in a graphic novel and pretend, but I know it's not a real person. If I'm afraid they died, I go back four pages and it's good.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and read the messages. Invader says, every time a government pulls the Protect the Children card, you know there's an ulterior motive. And then, of course, he says, negativity sells.
Not always. I don't think you should be forcing things that we haven't been teaching preschoolers for 100... Well, you know, even 100 years ago, they would see the cows or the horses or something out in the field mating, and then they'd be like, Papa, what is that? Well, that's life. So that's all you gotta do. And they learn that way. It's a lot better than basing it off of a left or a right side or propaganda or political theater. I mean, that part, I think, like, the transgendering, I saw they had a video at, it was a gay couple with a kid, and they're trying to transition them into a woman, or a girl, like, right now, because I guess the kid's 11 right now, but they're saying, I know he was a girl the day he's born, because, or she was born, or whatever, because at 6 months, they were wearing tutus, and I think it was Hodge twins, and Hodge did, who's buying them the damn tutus? So, I mean, when you think about it, they were just in, the kid doesn't know any different than I've worn girls' clothes my whole life, my hair's been long, all this, and now they're talking about he'll never experience male puberty because they're gonna give him puberty blockers before he even goes through puberty. And I think Jazz from that one show, TLC show, he or she didn't fully transition, but got puberty blockers so early they didn't have enough material to make the vagina. So it's trapped with like a micro penis or something is what I've heard. But I don't know. There's probably downsides to all of it. So, and plus,
yeah,
nobody knows.
I mean, the transgender thing is, I'm super supportive of transgender individuals in general.
I mean, if you're old enough to make your own decisions, I think you should. But if you're not, I think you shouldn't do something that you can't reverse and you regret immediately later.
Yeah.
You know.
I think puberty is a very difficult time for most people.
Right.
Taking puberty blockers or just hormones in general on top of that is even more difficult. If this is something that you know, we're going to continue to offer, if this is something that you know, we are okay with continuing, it needs to be something that is that is looked over. It needs to be something, make sure that everyone's reacting okay, that your body is reacting okay to it, that everyone's all right, because the last thing you want to do is just hand someone, you know, hormones and be like, good luck, kid.
Bye. I don't think it should be based on depression, because from what I've been looking on the stats, like, suicide for those that do it, like, I'll feel better if I'll transition, the suicide rate's pretty close to the same, if not more, after transition a lot of times.
But
people that didn't do it because I feel bad, I'm depressed, I'm just don't like myself, I think the people that do it just because that, I mean, personally on my end, I do feel like it's like bulimia or something like that, like you don't feel like a part of yourself, but it's because your brain's wired different. But
yeah, from the research that I'm aware of, there is a different gendering in the brain than there is the sexing in the body. So this is, you know, transgender people exist, and it is not like, it is just because of the gendering of their brain. But everyone can make really dumb, stupid decisions that are not appropriate, that they don't think about, maybe.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's important, like I said, to like make sure that you have the therapist, you have the psychiatrist, you have, you know, the gender affirming support there to be able to like, okay, is this really what's going on? Is your brain really gendered differently, or are we just depressed? Do we just have OCD? Like, let's figure this out.
I definitely don't think they should be fast-tracking it like a lot of people have. Like, so even the states that, you know, they have restrictions on it and all, there's other people in other states is like, I don't care if they want it. I'm going to send them the hormones. Like, well, they hadn't been properly... You know, you could be ruining their life and don't realize it yet. But, and plus...
Yeah, it needs to be looked over a lot more than it is.
A lot of the hormones they give for transition are the same they give when, like, I think they give them a boost of testosterone when they have breast cancer to level out their... I'd have to look. I don't want to say something that isn't true, but it was something about, I believe, testosterone that they were giving women to level out their estrogen when they were had breast cancer. I'd have to look it up, but
yeah. Well, one of the reasons I feel fairly strongly about it is because when I hit puberty, my brain was like, "Here is all of the testosterone in the world." My brain said, "Nope, we're a dude." And it was awful. I had my period for 2 weeks every month. I was stuck at home most of the time. It was so incredibly painful. So I had to go and get it checked, and they said, "You have way too much testosterone in your system, so we need to get you on birth control hormones, like, now." And I don't think I will ever be off of those hormones because my brain, you know, at puberty said, you know what, fuck this female thing. We're going to be a dude.
That's interesting.
And I had to make the decision of whether or not I wanted to continue being a cis woman.
Right.
At 12 years old.
Wow. That's, man. I mean, you hear about things like that, you know, weird cases, but to actually see somebody's actually had to go through something like that where the body's misfiring. You know, I wonder. Like, a lot of people say, you know, there's a lot of chemicals out there in the stuff that we eat and the processed food really and all that. You wonder if that stuff kind of messed with the hormones a little bit.
That's a lot of it.
Like,
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
there's so many.
There are some. They use it on their crops, some chemicals on their crops. I just don't remember the name.
The Monsanto?
But it increases estrogen by a lot.
Oh, yeah. I know soy increased estrogen, so...
Well, okay. The soy thing is a little bit, like, it does, but it doesn't to the extent you're talking about.
If you want to keep every bit of...
Yeah, no, I'm talking more about the chemicals that they use for irrigation and stuff like that for their food.
Yeah, definitely that.
Yeah, the Monsanto thing is
that
definitely an issue.
Preservatives, dyes, all kinds.
Yeah,
of
there's so much crap.
I feel like, and I think in Europe
they banned a lot of chemicals.
They're way stricter on what you can have in food.
Yeah, they say that the meat there, you know how our meat will last a long time.
Oh yeah.
Their meat,
well,
like
nitrates.
Well,
and
you,
stuff.
Well, yeah. I'm talking about like you put bologna or something. Their bologna goes bad in a couple of days. Yeah, because it's just, they don't have all the preservatives and stuff that we have in our
bologna.
Food. Yep, bologna, sausage, a lot of stuff that you eat, sausage and stuff like that. Yeah,
but sausage usually
almost all of that is lobbying.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's probably something we need to get fixed.
That's what smokehouses helped prevent back in the day was kept the meat longer because people didn't have proper refrigeration.
And your hormones affect your mood too, and it could be the reason why we have a lot of young people that are just not
confused.
Sure what, very confused, not sure what's going on. Definitely not getting the right answers from social media, but they have nowhere else to go.
Part of it too, I mean, like I said, there can be men think they're women and women think they're men, but not just social media, but now it's like the political parties trying to say, you can be this, you can be that. It's as simple, and if you don't like it, you can just turn back.
Well, they're trying to do that with vasectomy, and it's because they're like, oh, yeah, you can go back and do a vasectomy, but what if it doesn't?
I think about how wild puberty was the first time.
Right.
And I was like, I don't think, with some of the stupidity we've heard over the past few years, that people should be like, no, we fucked up with all that other stuff, but I've got puberty down. I feel like that's one of the most complex ones they shouldn't be fucking with.
Yeah, and Tax says, he says the soy thing is overblown. Also, there might be more estrogen in the water supply since we apparently don't filter for it. How's there so much? Yeah, this is true. They said there's so much estrogen in the water supply because of women taking birth control pills. This is what I've heard.
If we don't feel, I'm not sure how that works, to be completely honest. I don't necessarily think it's a birth control issue because I don't think that's how our body filters it.
Right.
But I'm not. I'm an education major. I don't do water filtering irrigation. I don't know shit about that.
Yeah, I don't know shit about that either.
How much time you got? Because I could talk about it.
No, we don't need you to talk about it.
I don't.
All
talk
right.
About this
So, thanks for having us. Thanks. Let me do this.
Thanks for having you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
He was trying to hint him.
Yeah.
If it's not too much and if you don't mind, I have a little plug for myself. I have a my website over at OUBA Academy, OUBA Academy. Yeah. The WordPress website. I write shit about on there. I have recommendations for media and all that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I've actually looked at it myself, and I've read several of your articles. So, yeah. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, I've been on there. I've read what you've written. They're very detailed.
I've been told I have a very detailed way of writing that just doesn't come through in my speak. Yeah, you write down with a super, super professional with the glasses on and everything.
Oh yeah,
you actually walk up and talk to me. Say, how are you doing? Hey y'all.
Yeah, exactly.
We go, we do she. It doesn't come through the speech at all.
Yeah, I get
when
that.
When people read my text, I don't sound like a hick, but I don't know.
I mean, I can, but it just depends. If I'm writing something professional, it's like that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, we're going to head out. Thanks for coming on, and definitely, you know, going to do this again sometime, see what's going on with the world of adult games. Hopefully things have gotten a little better, and hopefully we're not where we're at, where, you know, we're trying to focus on all these crazy issues. I mean, it's... And you know what,
yeah.
I mean. I'm talking about just all the legislation and all that. Hopefully they're not trying to ban them. There are people trying to literally ban all damn porn. I mean, I would tell
oh,
you
yeah,
straight
absolutely.
Up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. My job's banned in Florida. I can't move to Florida or else I'd be thrown in jail for trying to teach sex ed.
Wow.
Wow.
So, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
We chillin'.
Yeah.
All right.
Didn't
so, finally...
Yeah, thanks, DeSantis. Exactly.
Yeah. So finally, I was just going to ask you your personal opinion on it, since you've listened to the Empress stuff. You know, she asked that she wants to come back into the server and...
Already?
And, well, she wants to come as a messaging role.
Message like, beware for these folks.
Well, no. Basically, she's like, she's saying not so much as like, I want to be on the show. But she says that people apparently like her and want her on, even though, you know, I did a poll, or I'm doing a poll right now, and basically...
Wasn't it 100% said no, please?
Well, surprisingly, I'm looking at the numbers here, and the numbers here, last I checked, said... 5-8.
5-8.
I don't know who's voting.
Who's no and who's yes?
I don't know. Because it's literally set up 5-8. It's completely random.
I wonder how many friends you got. No.
I don't have no idea. But what I will say is, what do you think? Do you think we should bring her? I mean, I'm not bringing... I don't think I want to bring her back on the show, but...
You'd have to be able to... And I mean, I feel bad about saying it. The stuff's legit. I mean, I believe some things happened here.
Yeah.
But it seemed like every time, and it no matter how random the topic became, she had like, that totally happened to me. Like, someone sawed their leg in half. Oh, I remember the time when I was...
Yeah, she said she
and
knew
like,
the Dalai Lama.
I know, you're full of shit. It's okay. It's okay. But you hadn't got to be a part of every topic. It's okay. But, it's that, and she tries to yell over everyone. She will not let... it's almost like she's trying to take the show over and not let anyone else...
You know, talk. I had a good reason for this, too. Because, you know, when I brought her on, I honestly wanted a female voice. I said, you know what? There's so many shows in the manosphere where it's just the guys and they don't really have a female voice. And she seemed to have some pretty interesting takes in the beginning. And I was like, okay. And then all of a sudden, she just went into crazy town land. And I'm like, well, I can handle this for a little bit, right? You know, because I'm a really tolerant person.
Yeah.
And then she just went nuts and alienated everybody. Talked about how she just hated every man. Just horrible things. And I'm just like, I don't know if I really want all this drama on my show, you know, because we just do.
And you don't talk crap about your... fan base and your audience.
Yeah,
like,
I don't
you don't
either.
Tell them they're evil pieces of shit that should die.
Yeah,
in a gutter.
That's
you know
it's
now
just
like
awful.
This show this was a rational
this
female.
This was a rational woman, yes.
Yeah, someone, I mean, even if we don't have same opinions sometimes, I don't think she would try to out yet, but you would at least listen and then have your side, and then I would listen, and I'd be, well, that's a point, and then you might say, oh, that's a point. And
right, like a normal conversation.
Yeah, that's why I said she will never grow
and we just weren't getting that with her. And I mean, I had good intentions for this. Like, I thought, okay, well, this would be that real, you know, this would be that real, you know, female voice, because another guy that I have been friends with as far as the manosphere or whatever is concerned, he would have a lot of women on his show to talk about things. I'm like, well, that's cool. I could. And she said, you know, do you want me to come on your show and say a few things? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not? And I just didn't realize it was going to turn into the hassle. And and of course,
I don't know her that right. Well. I've only listened to those two. I can't really say one way or the other.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, that's fair.
Well, and I don't want to sound
that's
like
fair.
I dislike
yeah, we don't want to
I
sound
mean,
like
she's,
that. But.
I'm there's maybe some parts of it are likable. Just saying.
Oh yeah. That's fine. But we just wanted to ask. I mean, if you want to vote, you can feel free to vote as well. But
I will say, as you know, someone who works in the industry, the adult industry, it is always good to have the voices of women who have either worked in escorting or worked, you know, prostitution, just the gritty sex work. It's always important to have those voices out and up.
That's fine.
I think everything should be viewed from as many perspectives as possible.
I mean, I wouldn't have an issue with having her on the show as an interview again or something like that. But it has to.
Not a shouting match.
Yeah.
You'd have to be able to have control to turn it off to where.
Yeah.
There would be progress made, like. For a show
it'd have to
succeed,
be progress, mate.
Or
but,
to be watchable, you got to get something out of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, thanks for your opinion on that one. And we're all going to head out of here. I hope you guys enjoyed this interview. I'll have it up as soon as I can. You know, I got to do all the editing, all that good stuff. But, all right, I'll see you guys later. This will be the Grim Lord DP and Maya Chan, and we're out. We'll see you next time on Grim Interviews.
Later.
Thank you so much.